Coast Podcast on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Your prayers have been answered. Happy Sunday, kiddos. You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. My name is Clinton Yates. You all know Mina Kimes. And this, of course, is Dominique Foxworth with the Sports Center update. What's up, Playboy?
Chilling, man. Ready to get these people this Sports Center update.
Let's do it.
Moments after conclusion of Saturday's UFC 250 event, Conor McGregor announced his retirement. The 31-year-old tweeted, "It's been quite a ride," and explained his decision to Ariel Helwani after on Sunday morning. It's not the first time McGregor has announced his retirement via Twitter. He first walked away in March 2016, but returned in August and defeated Nate Diaz. Iowa placed longtime strength coach Chris Doyle on leave for racial insensitivity. Whew. The decision came after several former Hawkeyes spoke out about negative experiences they and other black players had while under Doyle's supervision. Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz posted a video to social media explaining the decision, saying, "It was a defining moment for our program." That's me with your Sports Center update. What you got, Clint?
The Morning Roast is on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and by asking your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Of course, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Newsman Fox, thank you. Mina, are you there?
So?
Maybe. Maybe not. We're figuring it out. I mean, listen.
Not apparently.
I can hear you.
I can hear you. It sounds kind of...
Yeah. And we're sorting it out, so that's that. Mina's here. You know, as we all know, it's been a while since we got together, Fox. It's been a long time. The Roasters, who you initially named before we even had a program, one of the all-time ego moves from Fox, because this could have been a failure of a program, but it wasn't, hey, and you got it right.
I'm on it.
I mean, I'm saying
I'm on it.
Right.
I wasn't going to fail.
He's on it.
I am here.
Mina! Hi, how are you?
I think so. Hi.
Yes.
How's it going?
It goes well.
Wow.
I was just saying that it's crazy that that Fox named the show listeners before we ever even had a show, The Roasters, and we're going to get to that later in the program, but... I'd like to talk about right now, just catching up. How are y'all doing in the no sports world? I mean, the three of us are doing a lot of work. Understand that. We'll get to that later. But, like, how are you just dealing personally, Mina? You know, I'm watching a lot of NASCAR. I'm watching a lot of bowling. I got a lot of things going on. Costa Rican soccer. Don't forget about it. You know what I'm saying? What about you?
Yeah, I know. KBO. Let's not forget the KBO.
Of course.
Cornhole's been having a moment.
Peloton weekends with
ESPN
anchors.
I heard about that, yeah. I've been thinking about getting one.
It's a thing?
Yeah.
We're kind of coming out of this now, right? Like, it felt like for a while, okay, we're all going to figure this out. We're gonna learn what's happening in Korean baseball. NC Dinos are the dominant team. We're gonna watch Bundesliga and learn how to speak Bundesliga. But the end is nigh, right? Because I mean, we're gonna talk about it today, but the NFL has continued unabated, and we can talk about that. And they have really continued unabated, and we can talk about that. But baseball, there's quite a bit to discuss there in terms of whether or not it's gonna come back. And then basketball is actually on the horizon.
Yeah, Clinton was born for this moment, though. Like, the obscure sport guy, like, he has been waiting his whole life for all the major sports to go away. So the rest of us will be forced to watch the nonsense that he normally watches. But I didn't watch it. I didn't give in. I just found other ways to pass my time. I wasn't watching games that I didn't care about a few months ago. I just can't do it.
What are you doing then, Fox? Like, what's actually happening?
Well, I mean, I'm the only one with kids, so there is a segment of our audience who understands that this quarantine has gotten real, real difficult for parents because, like, you forget how much you take for granted, like, the car ride home from work to, like, going from your basement to upstairs is not enough decompression time from work to dad time. So I really haven't had the time necessarily to fill with this other stuff. And I could get away in the past, like, hey, yeah, I got to watch these games because I got to talk about it tomorrow. But I can't really be like, hey, got this KBO happening tonight.
I want to hit pause on something you just said, which is that Clinton Yates was uniquely built for this moment in so many ways. Okay, I'm going to list the ways. Soup is his favorite food. Okay. It's the soup moment. He treats casual wear like business wear. Again, it's Clinton Yates. We've all had to go, like, we've had to meet him on his playing field,
the
basically,
longest
right?
Of cons.
Blazers are out, so, which has been a real situation for those of us doing TV at home because you don't want to look like a weirdo wearing a tie. Suddenly, Clinton Yates is the norm. And as you mentioned, he loves non-mainstream sports. I longtime roasters will remember, I think it was on our very first episode that we did an entire segment on African soccer.
Yep, yep. AFCON, baby.
Real thing that happened.
I was out of control.
African combinations, baby.
Exactly. I mean, listen.
An entire segment.
I mean, look.
And there was no, just for people who weren't around, there was no epidemic. There was no pandemic then. There was no virus.
No.
We had football was getting ready to drop. We had basketball season. We had baseball happening. But you know what we talked about for 15 straight minutes?
Somewhere AFCON, in Bristol, an ESPN executive
soccer.
Was driving to pick up his or her kids, turned on ESPN radio, thought, I'm going to listen to some, you know, NFL preview. Going to listen to what's happening in baseball. Turned it on. AFCON, baby.
I'm just saying. Listen, that's how you know what we brought to the table. We came out the gate with a show philosophy that Foxworth brought up. Foxworth's son just joined the program, by the way, on the Blue Jeans. What's up, Playboy? How are you?
Hi.
We're waving. We're doing non-visual bits.
Hi.
We're doing audio bits. See, the family has joined. Listen, the point is, though, is that that's what we brought to the table as the morning roast off the rip. Back then, we were just, you know, new to the network. Mina had come, you know, Mina was already big in her world. Fox is in the NFL world. I was just a loudmouth in D.C. And now look at us. You know what I'm saying? We're actually out here doing things. It's fun.
Is this the right time to also acknowledge that before this is our first radio show, like, hosting, right? I had done fantasy football, we had done guest spots here and there, and yet we still found it necessary to write an entire, like, 2-minute manifesto and deliver it on the first episode of this show, our very first radio show.
I know. We had big plans off the rip, thinking we were going to be great. The Morning Roast, ESPN Radio, Clinton Yates, Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth. One of the things I remember, too, from that first session. By the way, for all of you who have seen all of our promo photos, we have gone through more machinations than any other program, daily or weekly, to try to get this right. And it all started with a photo shoot at the old Undefeated offices that we did the first time we all met in D.C.
Impromptu,
off the gate. That was the best part about all of it. And I'll never forget, we went to lunch, right off the rip, Mina was roasting me at the table. I can't even remember what I said, but she just said, oh, he's one of those guys. And I was like, ooh. I said footy. I used the term footy to describe soccer.
She
was like, oh, he's one of those guys. We got a problem here. And then at footy the end,
talk.
One of the funniest things I can recall is that Mina had to admit, she said, my mom looked up your career earnings and said, you should probably be paying the bill. And it was the funniest
to Foxworth,
thing.
Yes.
Because Mina's mom got suddenly introduced to all of us through things we didn't even know. And now we're here. So it's great. Fox, you sounded really excited about it.
I like the idea that we're talking about, we're like completely self-involved as if everyone who is listening knows and cares. Like, you guys talked about how crazy we were to start off the show with a manifesto and to name our listeners. How is this any different? This is just as arrogant that you think that all the people who are listening know about the Morning Roast and care about a show that has not been available to anybody for like 2 years.
All right.
And only lasted for 2 years, only for the summers. Like, there is 6 total months of Morning Roast radio, and y'all came in here talking about the glory days like we was Mike and Mike or something.
For those who are listening, it really couldn't be a more perfect time for us to bring it back, because we're going to talk about the NFL. We're going to talk about Roger Goodell. We're going to talk about Drew Brees. We're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick. We're going to talk about this crazy NBA plan to come back. We're going to talk about whether baseball can come back or not. But we're also going to do a lot of navel gazing, as you just heard, and it begins now.
Your boys have blown up. They gave us this show. We were like, okay, maybe we'll increase our platform. Wow, look at what's happening now. You turn on your television, you can't turn on your television without seeing Mina or Fox or your boy. It's probably very annoying, unless you're a roaster, which is very fun.
Dominique,
how's your son? I see he dropped down. What was that about?
Nah, they just want something. I mean, you guys know, or you don't know, I'll tell you. They always want something. They never don't want something. So I love them to death, but apparently Minecraft wasn't working. Because I had a Nintendo Switch, so for the express purpose that he would leave me alone for a few hours, but it don't matter.
Minecraft.
Go ahead.
I'm going to pull a me and do the thing, just because we're again falling into old patterns and smoothly segue into getting us talking about sports.
that is a classic Mina move.
That's classic Mina.
It is amazing because, okay, so our producer, Mike, you started at Doc, And it was the old doc that we used to share ideas for the show.
So you're not talking about sports? You're talking
No. I'm going to get there.
You're talking about the history of the show again.
I'm going to smoothly get us there. I'm going to smoothly get us there.
She cut me
off. So you saw like what we were literally talking about in 2018. Like you can see, you know, our last discussion was like the summer of 2018. And it's like Darnold or Teddy, what should the Jets do? Helmet rule? Freak out dying down? And what I would love nothing more is to build a time machine, go back to 2018 when the three of us were hosting the show, and tell all three of us to our faces and see our reaction, hey, Drew Brees is going to clap at the president defending NFL players' right to kneel. Okay, what an incredible transition. I mean, and forget 2018, right? I could go back a month and do that. It's really
right,
remarkable.
Exactly.
Like, where we are at this moment in history is truly unusual.
I mean, it's going to be great. We're going to go through all the top five moments of the show. We're going to do a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? Remind y'all what's really going on. The most necessary reminder, if you come incorrect in my mentions, I will embarrass you in front of your friends and your family and not apologize. That policy hasn't changed, just in case you didn't know. All right. It's not... Fox isn't going to make it. And just by the way, I'm Clint Yates. I'm a columnist for The Undefeated, a panelist on Around the Horn and Now or Never. She's Mina Kimes, a senior writer focusing on NFL and has a podcast called ESPN Daily, as well as another one with her dog called Lena Kimes. Mina Kimes with Lenny. And, of course, Dominic Foxworth writes for The Undefeated and is all over the place in GetUp and a former NFL star. So that's who we are, in case you wondered why you heard any non-white man voices joking around on ESPN Radio on a Sunday. Now
man,
you know. The guests
so
on the show today are going to be senior white correspondent Spencer Hall.
Oh, my Woo! Man, Spence. Yay!
Also going to have NBA writer Malika Andrews.
Woo-woo.
Another cheer. This is where radio
stands.
I said
everybody.
It.
We're also going to have MLB insider Jeff Passan.
As Elmo.
Boom.
As Elmo.
But most importantly, we're going to have Joel Anderson from Slate for One Gotta Go. Classic segment. However, coming up, where are we right now with the aforementioned Drew Brees? It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. Tell your friends.
The Morning Roast. The Morning Roast.
If you thought the navel gazing was over, we put Fox in the lead-ins. You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And you can ask your smartphone, your smart speaker, excuse me, to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You heard that sound. Dominique Foxworth. You know, big, famous Dominique Foxworth, who you see on national television in his big, fancy house, talking in his glorious home about the state of America. I'm messing around. It has been a big week as the NFL is concerned. A lot of back and forth in terms of things we've seen. We've seen players come out with a video demanding that the NFL apologize for how they handled the Colin Kaepernick situation, as well as all the protests. We saw Drew Brees, who has had what we'll just call a checkered history in terms of who he chooses to associate himself with. You can look up Mina Kimes' work on that if you really want to know. Also, and then, of course, we had Goodell sit in his basement talking about how the NFL is giving back. First, though, let's hear Drew Brees apologizing for what he chose to say.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention. I wish I would have laid out what was on my heart in regards to the George Floyd murder, Ahmaud Arbery, the years and years of social injustice, police brutality, and the need for so much reform and change in regards to legislation and so many other things to bring equality to our black communities. I am sorry, and I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally.
Can we get to, Mina Kimes, the most important part of that sound first? The birds chirping in the background was so lovely and soothing.
Soothing. Truly soothing. Okay. What a 48 hours, 64 hours it has been for one Drew Brees. I don't know his full name. We usually do that bit.
That would be good, yeah.
Just quite a journey. And along those lines...
His real name is Malik.
It is now. along those lines... All right, let's not go too far here. When he issued his reply to Trump, to the president who tweeted at him over the weekend on Friday, was that a Friday or everything blurs together now?
What are days? There's yesterday, there's today, there's tomorrow.
Yes, I saw many people pointing out. Well, how could he evolve so quickly? Who wrote this for him? What does he mean? Because in his reply to President Trump, he actually addresses why people were so upset with him about the first comments, which wasn't, you know, the lack of acknowledgement of what's happening in this country, although that was part of it, and you know, not using the words like racism, police brutality, but the fact that he misrepresented Colin Kaepernick's protest. That's why people were upset with him, right? The actual things he said about the protest. Comes around, applies to Trump, complete 180. And so people saw that and they said, how could he really mean it? You know, what is his intent? Frankly, I don't care. I don't know what Drew Brees' intent is. I don't know what's in his heart. I don't know him. You don't know him. I care about the words that are coming out of his mouth in a public setting because he's a public figure and those words matter. Those words matter more than his intent, and he said the right words. And the fact that he said those words is so indicative of this moment in time where companies, where white athletes, where people who have been silent on these things for so long have come forward. That's what matters to me, because having those words in the discourse is impactful.
Yeah, I think Drew Christopher Brees helped us out by bringing attention to this, by saying the wrong thing. He really helped us, because I think it's funny that so many times people are afraid to say the thing that might get them jumped on, and I'm sure Drew didn't do it intentionally, but a lot of people think and feel the way that Drew felt, and him putting that on the table gave us the opportunity to, like, correct it. But when you were talking about how crazy the last few days were, I thought you were going to go all the way back, way, way back to the Pyramid guy at Clemson, like Dabo Swinney and them. So the Pyramid apparently using the N-word. That doesn't stand for 24 hours before Vic Fangio comes out and says racism is dead. Once you pass the threshold into the locker room, racism disappears. And then you leave and it jumps on you again. And then we don't even go 24 hours before Brees has his Yahoo Finance interview where he's like, respect the flag. Like, it was bananas. And then we had the Norville guy down in Florida State. Like, we need to have these games back so y'all can get busy and stop saying ridiculous things.
We need one of those counters. Listen to the morning on ESPN Radio. Clinton Yates, Mina Kimes, Dominic Fox. We're still trying to figure out our cadence, y'all. All right, understand that. We're back for 1 week. We're going to sort it out. I want to say something to y'all, though. The initial problem with what Drew Brees said is that his argument is asinine and ahistorical. I said that on television. I'll say it right here. If you are a person that thinks that every single week in the NFL does not involve directly disrespecting the flag per U.S. flag code, you are an imbecile. Okay? Flag code and respecting the flag is the most ridiculous argument in general in American society. Okay? You're not supposed to fold the flag. You're not supposed to carry the flag flat. There's a million things that happen literally by design in football games at football stadiums that are directly about disrespecting the flag, so to speak, if you're going to consider flag code that case. So understand that the dog whistle that is heard loud and clear by everybody. We all know what that means. What it means is that if you stand for something that makes white folks uncomfortable, don't do it on their time. That balance has changed, Mina, and that's what I'm most happy about all this, quite frankly, in terms of how the NFL represents itself.
And that's why I'm so glad he said it, to go back to Dominique's point, because over the last week, as the protests over the killing of George Floyd have escalated and athletes have gotten involved, every team feels compelled to put out these statements that are like, we are against racism, we are against systemic racism, right, is the buzzword now. And I say buzzword because they're not explaining what that means, who is doing the racism, they're not looking inside their own houses. Drew Brees made it specific. Okay, because if he hadn't said that, I truly believe these teams would have been like, all right, we did it. We looked outside. We're healing America. We're issuing these statements. He reminded people, no, here's what this is all about. When we talk about systemic racism, and obviously he didn't do it intentionally, but look in your own house. Look in the NFL. Look at what we've been doing. And that forced the conversation back to Colin Kaepernick, which it should have been centered around him all along, Dominique.
I'm sorry, guys. I just want to laugh. I've been yelling about this all week. I just want to think about the moment when Drew Brees finished his interview. Like, the time between that and when the world came crashing around him. Like, that had to be one heck of a moment, because he just said his little thing that he'd been saying forever. He's like, yeah, they're going to pat me on the back. They're going to love me for this one. And then minutes later.
Coming up, Joel Anderson from Slate joins us for the favorite game across America. It's called One Gotta Go. This is The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio.
Earlier today on The Morning Roast.
Clinton was born for this moment, though. Like, the obscure sports guy, like, he has been waiting his whole life for all the major sports to go away, so the rest of us will be forced to watch the nonsense that he normally watches.
Clinton Yates is uniquely built for this moment in many ways. Okay, I'm going to list the ways. Soup is his favorite food. Okay, he treats casual wear like business wear. Again, we've had to meet him on his playing field, basically, right? Blazers are out, so, which has been a real situation for those of us doing TV at home. Because you don't want to look like a weirdo wearing a tie. Suddenly, Clinton Yates is the norm.
Now, back to The Morning Roast with Mina Kimes, Dominique Foxworth, and Clinton Yates.
If you grew up where I grew up, you know that Gushers and Fruit by the Foot tweeting this week wasn't that weird. You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and by asking your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. But first, newsman Dominique Foxworth, what you got?
Moments after the conclusion of Saturday's UFC 250 event, Conor McGregor announced his retirement. The 31-year-old tweeted, "It's been quite a ride," and explained his decision to Errol Hawani later on Sunday morning. It's not the first time McGregor has announced his retirement via Twitter. He first walked away in March of 2016, but returned in August and defeated Nate Diaz. The Carolina Panthers terminated their relationship with Charlotte-based CPI Security after the company's CEO, Ken Gill downplayed police brutality against people of color. Gill later apologized for his comments in a statement. The Panthers, in a statement on Saturday, said CPI Security has been a long-term partner, but upon reflection, we feel that it is right to end our relationship. That's it, SportsCenter. Sorry, when I saw Ken Gill, it made me think of Kendall Gill.
Shouts to Kendall Gill, who works with our buddy Jason Goff on the Bulls postgame show. So I see Kendall Gill a lot in my feed. Cool. Yeah. Kind of goes, cool guy. Anyway, right now, Joel Anderson, friend of the program and Slate columnist, is on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas, y'all. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. It's not my first day in radio school. Joel, what up?
What's up, Roast? How y'all doing?
We're good. I didn't appreciate it. You had Clinton built up all of that energy, and he handed off all that Clinton Yates energy to you, and you was like, nah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't meet you where you are, Yates.
Y'all already playing together. Y'all got a little rhythm going. Give me a chance. I'm learning to play off the ball right now. Come on.
I like that. I like how Joel Anderson, Houston Arugula's Rockets fan, is mixing in basketball metaphors in order to talk about what's going on the radio.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time to warm up, man. I haven't done this. Y'all are the professional. Y'all, as y'all said, y'all doing big things. Y'all on TV all the time now. I mean, you know, I'm just a little writer right now. So.
You got one of the most popular podcasts in America with Slow Burn 3, my guy, by the way.
And you're the fastest 10-year-old ever, by the way. Never forget it.
From 1988, but you know, if you guys want, you know, my record was broken, but I mean, I appreciate you mentioning that. You know, people need to know.
All right, well, let's get to it. Tremendous logo design, by the way, on the Slow Burn podcast. Yo, all right, Joel, one gotta go. We all know what that is. Take it away, sir.
Yeah, man, I pulled out my old Google Doc of One Gotta Go and got a little misty eyes, man. So, anyway, you know, I was like, man, I had for like a whole summer of One Gotta Go, and all of a sudden I didn't have to need them anymore. So, anyway. We're heading into summer, one where we're not even sure if we're technically allowed to be outside or not. So in tribute to those summers past, this One Gotta Go is dedicated to sports concession stands all across the country, churning out overpriced, mediocre food made by overwhelmed teen moms and listless teenagers, okay? So we've got chili cheese fries, chicken fingers, buffalo wings, and nachos, okay?
Hold on. Chili cheese fries, chicken tenders, buffalo wings, and nachos? Okay.
Now, buffalo wings, not Wingstop wings with all different kind of flavors. I'm talking about just buffalo wings, all right?
Yeah. All right.
So, I'm going to say the one that's got to go here. Even though this is really difficult because at its peak, it's the best of the group.
Oh, no.
But it's the one that's got to go. It's chili cheese fries.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Look. Yeah, believe it or not. Wow. Yeah, chili cheese fries has so many ways in which it can go wrong. Whether it's the fries are too soggy, not crispy enough. The chili is, I'm a Texan. I know most of y'all don't know how to make chili, man. You know what I'm saying? And then you're not going to get high quality cheese with chili cheese fries. So that's where I'm going. What about you? What do you all think?
I'm shocked. Rare
really?
Correct opinion from Joel Anderson.
What?
I'm in actual disbelief because,
I know, because
you're totally right. And we were all nodding, actually, as you said it. So I'll be curious to hear what my comrades here have to say.
Well, number one, I don't believe that. I don't believe the chili cheese fries should even be on. I mean, like, you're correct in this, but, like, your description of chili cheese fries even making the four, to me, is suspect. You're saying you're not going to get high-quality cheese? Is high-quality cheese even supposed to be on chili cheese fries?
At a restaurant or something, Joel's absolutely right. Like a stand, you know, a place that specializes in chili cheese fries, you can get some really delicious ones. But as far as stadium food go, like thinking about the stadium and arena's capacity to make the four types of food you just mentioned, chili cheese fries are they're the Washington Wizards of this group.
Wow.
They got shoehorned in. They did not belong in the playoffs. Everybody knows it.
Mina.
Wow.
Mina, when you see somebody eating chili cheese fries in the stands, you feel sorry for them. It's like, what happened? What went wrong?
No, and I'm like,
you had to do that.
I know.
I have so much
really
to say. Okay, first of all, the upscale in kitchens from stands to stadiums is not actually that different. Okay, you can make everything at a stand that you can in a stadium kitchen.
What?
Chili cheese fries.
Proceed, Clay.
Chili cheese fries are designed to be gut busters. There's no place you should really be eating those in front of other human beings that's not in your house. So if you order if I'm at a restaurant with somebody who orders chili cheese fries, we are not going to the same place when we leave. Trust me on that. It's not going to happen. I don't care what's going on.
I'm
just saying.
Don't yuck people's yum. Sometimes somebody, and there's a little different things, man. Chill out. Chili cheese fries.
She dissed the Wizards, and I'm already upset about the Wizards because The Last Dance of Michael Jordan got me all fired up the other week. So understand what this train wreck is.
Right. Okay. We'll talk about how the Wizards clearly
Dominique,
don't belong
do
in
think
the playoffs
about this
later.
One gotta go?
Well, I mean, I think Joel was right, and this was Joel. I mean, you were coming in here trying to get back in the flow of things, and you threw yourself a softball and you landed it because you're right. That's the one that has to go. But I mean, Clinton did say that the difference between a stand and stadium food is small. I don't think so. I think if you're holding a stand, your food better be good because people are only coming there for the food. Stadium food is like, we're here for the game. We'll give you some crap. It don't matter. You're going to pay triple for it just because you're here and you're hungry.
No, you missed the entirety of what I said. I said,
the
scale
kitchen,
up in kitchen equipment. It ain't that different what you're cooking with on a stand or in a truck than what you're doing within the stadium.
Sorry.
I know that, having cooked in kitchens and what you give the people food.
What's your next one? Joel, you got some other one gotta goes for us?
Yeah, I do. I have another one. So this is a one gotta go for people who have friends.
Elitist.
Remember friends? Yeah. I'm sorry. This might be difficult, right? No, if you don't remember that. But we would invite people over to our house and maybe sometimes go out for a fun night out. But if you live in a state with no rules for the pandemic, or you've got a group of friends living in the same quarantine bubble, this is for you. All right?
Okay.
Bowling, game night, skating, karaoke. Okay? So I'm going to go ahead and say it. Right. Yeah, this is tough. This is tough. Well, not for me. Okay? Let's get rid of karaoke.
Seriously, yes!
Because look, there's always someone who believes that they're good and that their music choice is unassailable. And so let's just get the concept of the activity right. People poorly sing songs that they like and not ones that they have any reason to believe that the people listening will like, drowning out even the possibility of a good conversation. I'll pass.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Karaoke is whack. You only have people who either think they can sing or don't care that they can't sing. It's a bad experience all around. Although, I mean, skating's dangerous. We're all
delicate. Bowling?
Game night is a win.
The Minicon special.
Yeah, I love game night. Game night is untouchable. What was the third one again?
Bowling, game night, skating, karaoke.
See, skating? Yeah. Like, adults go skating? Really? I'm not a karaoke lover.
Got into America situation.
Oh, I missed
two
it. Hey, hold on. Corporation voice. I'm listening and learning right now. Enlighten us, Joel. We ready for you.
Yes. Quick story about skating, though, Joel. Yeah, skating is great. I was actually with my cousin on the beach, and two people skated by, and my cousin said, yo, I got to get my skates. He's like, but I don't have outdoor wheels. I was like, outdoor wheels? Negro, where are you skating? He's like, at the rink near my house on Fridays. I was like, wow. In 2020, so he shocked me on that.
Do you remember when Mina didn't know who Tony was? That's another great moment.
Remember when none of you guys had seen Friends, and I had to explain Friends?
That still holds true. Have you seen Living Single? You see Living Single?
We are living.
Honestly, this attack on karaoke could be seen as an attack on my culture, the Korean-American culture.
I worried about that. No, Mina, I was very concerned about that. It was something I talked over with several people. I said, man, you know, it's just kind of like when I say I don't like bagels, and I'm like, look, I just want to be respectful to my brothers and sisters in the Jewish community. You know what I'm saying? The same thing with karaoke. So I'm trying to be as sensitive here as I
bagels
can.
Are
but
delicious.
Here's the problem, Joel, is that you need to up your karaoke game. You don't go to the bingo hall to sing in front of Betty and all her friends. You get the room with your homies and your girls, and you all let them bring the beat inside this room. No. So the private room element is when you all rock together as friends. True. That's how you do karaoke. Trust me. Basements in Adams Morgan in D.C. is how you do karaoke. No. Don't stand in front of the idiots somewhere in Houston so that everybody thinks you're trying to make American Idol. That's not how that's done.
Just pump in a Spotify shuffle, you know, saying get that gone. Nobody wants to hear you saying, dog.
Agreed. Joel, I'm with you. Don't fall to this trap. It's just Clayton wants people to look at him. That's all.
Hey, man, people look at me anyway because I'm the new norm, according to Mina Kimes. He's Joel Anderson. Yeah. He's Slate columnist. He's on the Shell Pencil Performance Line. Thank you, Joel.
Thanks for having me.
Mina, I'm taking you skating next time we're in the same city.
Is it adults? Really? Adults?
Yeah. So,
it's family entertainment.
About a year ago, one of my best friends had a party for his wife at night and rented out the skating rink. It was an 80s theme party. We all came dressed in 80s and all grown-ups got drunk and skated. And it was awesome. There was
because what you do on the skates, Mina, is very simple. You dance. Coming up, really, where have we been? We'll ask that question and we'll answer it. It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio.
The Morning Roast.
Zoe Kravitz is better than John Cusack in High Fidelity. You know who else is better than John Cusack in High Fidelity? Joan Cusack. You're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. You can, of course, ask your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio as well.
I didn't get
You didn't get it?
I didn't get it. I don't know.
Okay,
I forgot how you like to crowbar in your takes. non-sequitur takes.
Right? That's a new segment of radio, The Trails I'm Blazing, where I drop in a quick hot take before the show starts. So there's nothing really to do about it. It's called a jumper in my business. You can take that one home for yourself, kids. Anyway, what happens is that Zoe Kravitz is playing in the new show that's a movie that John Cusack used to do. John Cusack's brother, Joan, is in the movie, in which I believe she actually plays his real sister as well. That's a long story. Anyway, if you want to know where we've been and what we've been doing, I've been watching that show, among other things. Because, see, I moved to Los Angeles, which was a major move in terms of my life and in terms of a lot of different things. I was out here a fair amount over the past couple years, and then I decided, hey, you know what? It's time to be here. So I don't live anywhere near Mina, but, you know, I'm in L.A. So that's where I've been over the past 2+ years. How long has it been since we were even on the air? I don't even remember.
2 years.
2018,
2 years. Yeah, so that's where I am. I mean, I'm near the beach, so it's fun. That's all.
Wow. Where have I been? I'm also in L.A. I guess 2 years ago, I was doing the same shows, but I wasn't doing... I don't know if I had started my football podcast yet, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, which is basically best defined as full-time quad box to the Roasters.
Nice.
Dominic and I quad boxed a little bit during the break. We're talking about the Saints death chart. I promise we won't hit you with that too much.
You literally have two other shows for that.
Yeah. Saints defense, though, man. They are deep at every level. Ooh, I'm just going to leave it there.
You know what I got? I got high on the Saints when we were getting ready for the draft, and I was, like, doing mock drafts. So I was figuring out who had different holes, and I was like, Where's the hole?
Not a lot of holes.
Where's
not
the
a lot
hole?
Of holes.
I got them winning their division, maybe making a Super Bowl run, and then Drew said what he said. I was like, maybe a little turmoil in the locker room. Nah, they'd be good.
So clearly, now, nothing has changed in your life, Foxworth.
Nah, same old, man. Still sitting in the same basement talking to you fools.
That's not true. You've got new projects for the undefeated. Tell them about your shows.
I don't have no projects. I don't have no shows. I just be making videos.
I saw you sitting in a basement looking like a different world. It was cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we be doing stuff, trying to keep up on pop culture and whatever, trying to do things. Mina, what's up?
Foxworth has had a busy week. You know, he's been sort of like America's black phone-a-friend.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a millionaire? To the point where, you know, he's pretty tired because he's been called so much. He's been called in so much as an advisor that I suggested this week on Highly Questionable that he cut out, you know, it's kind of like Mike Norvell where he sent out, quote unquote, like 100 texts, but really it was a big group text. Foxworth needs to do the emotional equivalent of a mass group text and just hold a camp.
One-day camp. I don't think
like Dominique Foxworth's racial reeducation camp. Everyone can come.
I don't think people understand what you're talking about because this was a private conversation between me and you that you decided
okay,
to
let
bring
me
to the
explain
radio.
What happens. If you are black and if you are smart and if you're in a public place, when something happens that affects black America, all of your white friends either ask you one of two things. Are you okay or what can I do? And therefore, you have to revisit your own personal trauma in order to relieve their personal trauma because they want to be acknowledged so that you can say, oh, they got acknowledged. Now, that's
it's
the hardcore short
it's been,
version for
it's
me.
It's been different.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for you because for me, it's been different this time around because the kind of marching orders have been like white people, you must do better. You must do something. So that's more what I've been getting is like it starts with I want you to know I feel your pain and I see you and I love you, but I want to know what I can do. And then we go from there. And then they're like, I used to think, and now let me know what I should think or where I should go. And so after I'm done working,
you got it. All right.
And then after I'm done raising my kids, I then devote a couple hours to calling white people and whispering. I'm the whisperer.
You got
to
pivot and stop giving them race takes and like the right thing to say about what's happening in America and be like, yeah, you know, you should definitely say it's time to check out these books and these resources. And also, Dak Prescott is a top five quarterback. You gotta say that too. And you gotta acknowledge that mobile quarterbacks have never been more injury prone. Throw that in there a little bit. Sprinkle a little bit of, you know.
I think
Kyle Shanahan's the best coach in the NFL.
I love this bit. Sprinkling in unrelated takes to your racial makeup. It's like a seven layer dip. And that one layer that you kind of forget about because it's in between two or three other things. You know what I'm saying? Until you catch that flavor pocket, you're like, oh, there it is. There it is. So defenses and basketball are overrated, of course. No, it's
this is your opportunity.
You're a monster. You're a
monster. You got a platform. You have this is the most power. We talked earlier about how Clinton Yates, this is like his moment in terms of situation and context, right? And the weird sports. Dominique, you have never had more power to influence other people's takes. Seize that power. What other takes
do
you have?
Let me know.
What other wild takes?
I don't have any wild takes. All my takes are right. Anybody who disagrees is the one with the wild take. You and your dog Linus don't know what you're talking about on your football show. You're lucky I come on there and get you straight every now and then.
You don't even believe that. You can't even say it at your usual volume.
I love this. See, because here's the thing, is that my life has probably changed the most in all this situation.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Leaving the hometown, coming out here. And then as soon as I got here, the world ended. So that's been a little weird. I'm not going to lie because, you know, I was seeing Mina on a semi-weekly basis, you know what I'm saying, around the studios and so on and so forth. And all of a sudden it was like, stay in your house. It was a little weird. Anyway, you're listening to The Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. It's presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. But I got to say, in general, when it comes to like that kind of thing, your boy has a form letter that I've been sending out to people on the what can I do. I just write back, talk to your white friends. I'm in self-care mode. Change the subject. Straight up. I mean, because at this point, with all the stuff we've been seeing, I understand that people care. But that's a given to me. You know what I'm saying? I will give you, here's what I'm saying. White folks, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt that you care. Okay? So understand that. I'm acknowledging you so you can acknowledge me and then we can talk about me being acknowledged is not what we're here to do. You see what I'm saying? Let's not make any other people do that who don't already have to. Dominique has kids to raise. All right? I got obscure sports to watch. You know what I'm saying? Leave us be. That's what I'm saying. And so while the effort is appreciated, sometimes you got to understand how much more work you're creating for black folks by asking them these questions and forcing them to revisit things, even if it comes from a place of love. I just want y'all to know that.
Well, you know, no one's asking me for my advice, but I'm going to give it anyways. Classic. What I've been thinking through, I guess, is I don't know if you guys saw Tom Herman's comments on this. About, you know, his statement or whatever, where he talked about, well, okay, we all agree on this, but are you considering the job opportunities? Are you letting, you know, are you considering who you're happy dating your daughter? Are we having those conversations? And I thought that was really key. And for me, I guess my feeling is, okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, in terms of race and how it intersects with sports. Let's try to redirect this, or not redirect this, but my role, I feel like, is to direct this energy to the conversations that people haven't really wanted to have. I mean, Dominique and I were talking about the Rooney Rule 2 weeks ago. That's a totally different conversation now. I feel like it's received differently, rather, that our feelings are different. Yeah. So I just kind of want to have focus on those issues as we move forward, not the issues where we've all decided we agree on.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a unique moment and it's an opportunity. And while, I've been complaining a little bit, half jokingly, about being tired about working so much and getting these calls, it's like, this is a moment. And it seems like people in society in this country is malleable in a way that it has not been. So I will work myself to the bone, talk until any hours of the night with white people who will listen, and to any camera that will record me and broadcast my message, because I never expected to be like this, and it ain't gonna be like this in the future. When the window closes, y'all not gonna come and say, "Hey, black man, what you think about this? Why don't you point me in a direction?" So I'm gonna keep telling you which direction to go.
Don't forget, because we didn't forget about Colin Kaepernick. It's the Morning Roast on ESPN Radio. We out here.